الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا، داعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزًا عظيمًا. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود. My dear respected scholars, brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As always, it's a great pleasure and honor to be in Kuwait. And this masjid, alhamdulillah, always feels like home, because this is the first masjid in which I was invited to speak, and it's always the first masjid in which I speak whenever I come to Kuwait. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu protect this masjid and all the masajid in the world from all harm, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and bless and reward all those who are involved in the upkeep and the support and protection and building of masajid and the activities of the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, in the first ayat of Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and this is a hukum because it begins with Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, awfu bil uqood, fulfill your promises, fulfill your obligations, fulfill your oaths. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew that the very first of them, the very first of the obligations, the very first of the commitments, the very first of the covenants, the very first of the promises, and the very first of the oaths is that one with which we enter Islam, which is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, that we bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is his messenger, the last and final of them, after which there is no messenger, no Nabi, no Rasul, and that we follow him in the message that he brought for us. It is this covenant, this oath, and this promise that is the difference between Jannah and Jahannam. It is this kalima which, if a person says this with ikhlas, and this is the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever says La ilaha illallah with ikhlas will enter Jannah. And the Sahaba asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what is the meaning of the ikhlas of the kalima? He said that this keeps you away from haram. We understand from this that there are three parts to every oath, just as there are three parts or three conditions to this kalima. The first of them is to believe it in the heart, to be committed to that oath, to be committed to that promise. The second of that is to speak it with your tongue or in whichever way it is. And the third one is to live by it. Tasdeeq bil qalb wa iqrar bil lisan wal amal bil arkan. If there is an oath which we claim to believe but we do not fulfill in our actions, then that is tantamount to breaking that oath. In the context of the kalima, if somebody said La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, But when the time for salah comes, the person does not go for salah. The person does not pray. Then has the person fulfilled the oath or has he broken the oath? If a person says, La ilaha illallah, there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the person worships or when the person asks for anything, the person joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He asks Allah and he also asks someone else. Then has the person fulfilled the oath or has he broken the oath? So any oath is only as good as the action which follows thereafter. Similarly, Muhammadur Rasulullah, which is the part of the kalima, whenever we hear a hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are several of them like this, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever said La ilaha illallah, please don't imagine that La ilaha illallah alone is sufficient. That is the way of speaking. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever said La ilaha illallah, he means whoever said La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, because this is the full kalima. Just La ilaha illallah is half the kalima. So the other part of the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah, if somebody says Muhammadur Rasulullah, the person is saying that, is saying two things. One is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and that this person saying that is a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And then when it comes to action, the person does not follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but does something which goes contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then has the person fulfilled his oath with respect to the second part of the kalima, which is Muhammadur Rasulullah, or has this person broken that oath? As I mentioned before, and there is a lecture of mine on this, that the kalima tayyaba is not a statement of information on fact. It is a statement of a relationship. And that is the reason when we say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad wa Rasulullah, it's a specific statement. I bear witness. You are not saying this is what the Muslims believe. You are saying I am Muslim and this is what I believe. And that is the reason the first question that we will be asked in the qabr is, what is the question? Is it wa ma rabbul alameen? Or is it man rabbuk? Are the malaika asking who is the Rabb of the Alameen? Do they want information from you? They don't know, so they're asking you. Or are they asking you and me, who is your Rabb? We know who is Rabbul Alameen. We want to know whether you have the same Rabb. Do you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your Rabb? And inshallah al-musta'an, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that time easy for us, because the time will come. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to say Rabbi Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself be the witness of this for us on the day of judgment, to say that we accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So this religion of Islam is a religion of making a promise. And that promise is to the one from whom there is no hiding, there's no concealment. The promise is to the one who has no boundaries on his qudrat, on his power, on his glory, on his majesty. The promise is to the one who introduced himself in this way when he said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. اینڈ آفٹر دس انٹروڈکشن ہی جل جلالہ میڈ اٹ ویری کلیئر دیٹ دیر از نو کمپلشن آن اینی بڈی ٹو ایکسپٹ ہم ایز رب بیکاز ہو سمد قل هو الله احد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد. He is free from all wants, including the need that anyone should worship him. We worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reiterate our own allegiance and our own obedience to him jalla jalaluhu, not because he needs it but because we need it. So he made it very clear where he said, لَا إِكْرَاهَ فِي الدِّينِ قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدِ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it abundantly clear, very clear, and said there is no compulsion in Islam, there is no compulsion in deen. Nobody is being forced into Islam. Nobody is being dragged into Islam. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. The path of guidance and the other path of misguidance has been made clear. It is your choice. Choose whichever you want. There is no compulsion on this. But the one who leaves misguidance, who leaves the taghut, and who grabs the handhold of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who chooses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as his Rabb, and Muhammad رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم as his Nabi, this person would have grabbed a handhold which will never break. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who have held this handhold, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hold this for us until we meet him and enter Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala بغیر حساب inshallah. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that there are two kinds of oaths. There are two kinds of promises and covenants. One are formal agreements, which includes the Kalima Tayyiba, which includes in this world also formal agreements that you may sign relating to anything in life, whatever you formally agree with. Irrespective of who you agree with, whether the person you have signed the agreement with is a Muslim or not, this is not a differentiator in Islam. An oath for a Muslim is an oath, and the Muslim is accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that oath, even if that oath, even if that promise, even if that agreement, even if that covenant is with somebody who is not a Muslim. Makes no difference. You are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that promise, for that covenant which you signed. So there are agreements that we make, whether it's in business, whether it's in our life, our professional life, the agreement with which we have the citizenship of any country or a residence permit in any country. This is an agreement with that country, with that nation, that we will always do that which is beneficial for that nation, that we will not betray that nation, that we will not do anything which is harmful to that nation. This is an agreement, and we are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that agreement. The same thing applies. You sign an employment contract with a company. The company may be a Muslim owned or non-Muslim owned, makes no difference. You have signed an employment contract, and you are accountable for that employment contract. You are accountable for giving your full attention to the best of your ability, bring forth all your knowledge and competence and capability to deliver for that company that which you have agreed to deliver. Which also means that you have agreed that you will not use that time, or you will not use the resources of the company for anything other than what relates to the work. One of the great ulama of my country of India, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadvi rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor and forgive his sins, he used to carry two fountain pens. One with which he did his official work, and the other one with which he wrote any personal letters. Because the ink of the official work was paid for by the organization,
And the other one was his personal work, and he bought and paid for that ink himself. That is the extent to which those who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are careful about their commitments and covenants. So two kinds of commitments and covenants. One is that which is formal. The other one is a commitment which is implicit when we accept a certain responsibility. When you had a child, when you became a father or a mother, you did not sign an agreement with the child. But you are the parent of that child. And so therefore, there is an agreement and there is a covenant between you and your child. And that covenant is to bring up that child in the best possible way as a good Muslim, as a good citizen, as a good human being. To devote the time and attention that is required for that. To be the murabbi, to be the one who does the tarbiyah of the child. This is an agreement. And if you do not do that, you are accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why the child is sadqatul jariyah for you. Because when you do that, when you fulfill that agreement, then the actions and the amal of the child continue to benefit you even after you are dead. Why? Because you fulfilled that covenant. When you entered into a marriage, it's a double whammy. Because not only is it a written contract, but it's also implicit in the fact that you have accepted the fact that you are the husband of that woman. And she is your wife. What does that mean? Does it mean that you are responsible only for feeding and clothing her? She is not a pet cat. She is your wife. Her entitlement to dignity is even more important than her entitlement to food. Her entitlement to be treated with respect, to be treated with honor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cover her with honor. Her entitlement to be treated with kindness. This comes even before any material entitlements. Those are also important. But many times we forget this. And for many people, a wife is an unpaid servant which exists for your benefit. Please understand, just because she has no one to speak in her favor, because she may be a stranger in the land of a number of reasons, please remember that in this dunya, the one who has no supporter in this world has a supporter on the heavens. Read Surah Al-Mujadila. Read the Asbab al-Nuzul of that surah. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says that this lady came and complained about her husband, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she insisted on speaking alone. So Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa said, I was in the next room, but I was listening. She said the woman spoke so softly that I could barely hear what she was saying. But her Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu heard her on his arsh above the seven heavens. And he sent down the surah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, during his reign as Khalifa, was going down the street, was riding his camel. And he saw an elderly lady standing by the roadside. He dismounted and he went and greeted her. And she asked him for something, he immediately ordered it. The people with him, they said, yeah, Amir al-Mu'mineen, who's this woman? I mean, you are riding on the camel, you're going somewhere. You stopped all that, you got off, you went and greeted her so respectfully. And she asked you, who is this? He said, you don't recognize this lady? He said, this is the one for whom her Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu sent down the surah. Fear the woman who cries in the night. If in those tears is a complaint against you, may Allah give you wives who will cry in the night, but in those tears is dua for you. Because your Rabb listens to the one who nobody else listens to. Fear the employee. Fear that servant who cannot say anything to you because he fears for his rozi, he fears for his job. He's a poor man, he's a poor woman, who you get angry and you curse and you beat. They cannot retaliate. And fear that even if that person is not a Muslim. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is nothing that stands between the dua of the oppressed and their Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Even if that person is not a Muslim, even if that person is not calling directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by name, it does not matter. Because there is only one who answers dua, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And Allah listens to the dua of the oppressed non-Muslim against the Muslim who oppresses him. Every covenant, once we accept a responsibility, it becomes a covenant. When you become the head of a masjid, you have accepted a responsibility, which means that you will devote your time and attention to the welfare of that masjid. When you accept the responsibility for an organization, it's not a matter of salary. It's a matter that you have accepted a covenant that you will devote your time and attention to that place and to that time, and that you will fulfill the responsibilities that come with that job. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us take this matter very, very seriously. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold us accountable for this. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, to make it easy for you, and to make all your responsibilities, whether they are official in terms of your careers, or whether they are domestic in terms of your wives and children, or your husbands. Please understand, I have said a lot of things with regard to oppressing the wife. The same things apply to oppressing husbands. Let the sisters hear loud and clear. Men do not have any copyright over oppressing women. Women sometimes are worse oppressors than men. I know specific cases. And the same things apply. Because your husband doesn't have a tongue in his mouth in this world, does not matter. What is in his heart goes to his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. In Islam, there is no disparity in the relationship between a man and a woman. One is not subordinate to the other. They are equal in the marriage. One has a different set of responsibilities, the other one has a different set of responsibilities. But the woman is not the servant of the man, and the man is not the servant of the woman. Both of them are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, equal in the marriage. And therefore, let us remember that these things are serious, and let us take them seriously. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، فقال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدتُّمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And fulfill the covenant with Allah when you have taken it, O believers, and do not break oaths after the confirmation while you have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over you a witness. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you do. About those who fulfill their covenants, in the famous ayat of Surah Al-Ahzab, which relate to the battle of Ahzab, the battle of the Khandaq, how fortunate and how great are those people whose witness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Jalla Jalaluhu. and who revealed the ayat relating to their faithfulness to him and to the oath that they made with him. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا أَحَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلَهُ. Among the believers are men who are true to what they promised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among them is the one who fulfilled his vow, his promise. And among them are those who await a chance to fulfill their vow. And they did not alter the terms of their commitment. They did not renege. They did not go back on their oath. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu made the Muslim somebody who takes an oath because he sent the Muslim into this world with a responsibility. If you look at our world, whenever somebody is given a great responsibility, when somebody becomes a head of state, when somebody becomes a member of parliament, when somebody becomes a judge of a court, they all take oaths. They take an oath to fulfill the commitment that they are making, to fulfill the covenant that they are making. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us Muslims this responsibility because he sent us into this world with a responsibility. He gave us this honor of taking this oath of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah because he sent us into this world with a covenant, with a responsibility. And that responsibility is to take his word and to take the goodness of Islam to all the world. And that is why he jalla jalaluhu said, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas. تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Verily, you are the best of people and you have been selected for the benefit of people. Allah did not say minal nas. Allah did not say you have been selected from the people. He said linnas. He did not say lil muslimin. He did not say you have been selected for the benefit of Muslims. No, linnas, for everybody. And what do you do and what are you and I supposed to do? Enjoin good and forbid evil. Promote and support everything which is good. This does not relate only to the halal and haram of the Sharia, which obviously it includes that. But this relates also to everything else which is intrinsically good and beneficial. For example, promoting things where global warming can be reversed. Promoting alternate sources of energy other than fossil fuels. This is not a matter of the Sharia, but it's something which as a Muslim we must do. Because it's a matter of general good, alhamdulillah. Promoting living habits and lifestyles which are good for public health. It's not a matter of Sharia. Things are halal. Sweets are halal, alhamdulillah. But if somebody is simply addicted to sugar, it is not haram, he will not go to Jahannam for that, but obviously it is not good for them. So talking about good things in whichever way it might be, this is the work of a Muslim, man or woman. And stopping people from doing things which are harmful, no matter how small they might be. I was in Sri Lanka and we were talking about this and about social responsibility generally, and one of the brothers said, I was in UP in India at the police headquarters, and one of the persons there, he was not a Muslim, but we were talking about social responsibility. So he said, I was driving somewhere and I drank something, some whatever soft drink he was, and he said, I put down the window of my car to throw the bottle out because he said, this is our culture, we just throw things. He said, I was about to throw something, my little daughter from the back says, Daddy. So he said, I put the bottle inside and I put up the window. There's a little girl, but she is stopping her father from doing something which is harmful. And no matter that everyone else does it. You don't do it. I don't do it. What everyone else does is not our problem. Everyone else is not our teacher. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is our teacher. And the thing which I always say to people, if somebody says, you know, who does it? I say to people that if you are in fact the only one who is standing up for truth, then it is even more important that you stand up for truth, because no one else is standing up for truth. So don't be intimidated by this fact that I am the only one. First of all, you're not the only one, because there will be other people. But I'm saying, even if that is the fact, even if that is a fact that you are the only one standing up for justice, for truth, then it is even more important that you continue to stand, because you are the only one, because no one else is doing it. My brothers and sisters, finally, in Surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يُفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. They, who are those people? They are those who fulfill their vows, who fulfill their oaths, and they fear a day whose evil will be widespread. And that refers to the Yawmul Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us on that day, and to protect us until we reach that day, and to keep us in a state where He is pleased with us. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all harm, that which you know and that which you don't know. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all those who wish you evil. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to support you in everything which is good, and to guide you away from everything which is from the wasabis of shaitan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to give you spouses who will be a credit to you and who will make dua for you. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you children who will be means of sadaqatul jariyah for you long after you are gone. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to help in everything which is good. Ta'awanu ala al-birri wa taqwa, wa la ta'awanu ala al-ithmi wa al-udwan. In the same Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in the third ayat. Help each other in goodness, and do not help each other in that which is evil. I ask Allah to make you among those who will help each other in goodness wherever you might be. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make each one of you a standard bearer of Islam, where you stand for Islam, where you stand as the representatives of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the day you meet him the best day of your life, and to make the last of your actions the best of your actions. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, and to protect you, and to shield you, and to cover you with His mercy and magnificence and grace, and with His forgiveness, and to hide all your faults. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of them, because His forgiveness is more than all our facts combined. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to take you into His mercy and grace, and keep you there, and enter you into Jannatul Firdausul A'la. I make this dua for you and for all of your mutalliqeen, those who have gone before you and those who are with you now. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to be pleased and never to be displeased. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait, وتولنا في من توليت، وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت، فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، فإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت، تباركت ربنا وتعاليت، نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار، آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، عودوا يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم فأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق اليقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعاً متصدياً من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق الباري المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
الله أكبر.